Okay, today's daf is daf vav. We're already heavy into this masechet here. And yesterday we were talking about the union of lo yimatzei and how exactly it could work if you hold that the dover hagoyim lamomon is laf kamomon. So maybe this is a special halacha. The truth is halacha lamaisa. There's machlokas achronim how to understand the mechanism. In other words, is lo yimatzei a different level of ownership that accepts as the yisur even less than dover hagoyim lamomon? Or is it a gilui in how to treat Dover HaGorim Lamama in this particular sugya, which has interesting nafkaminas in the Lamnish and the Kudas. Anyway, we're up to the fourth line here, the last two words. This is an extension of the same halacha. Yes, and we're talking about levels of ownership that are not complete and yet are considered to be sufficient ownership in terms of the Isurim, or in terms of perhaps the Dover HaGorim Lamama in terms of Tashlumei Kefil for Kachim and so on. Here's another interesting halacha. The din is that when it comes to arnona, in which the government puts a tax on properties that it can include your animals that you're keeping in town and so on, you pay arnona on that. There is a standing lien that the government has on your animals. If the arnona isn't paid, they collect the animals. So it'll take 10% of your animals. But now the question is a flock like that going to be considered your own entirely, or is it Yad Akum Be'emza? Because if it's not owned entirely by Jews, then there's a Ptur on Bechor. So all of those animals may not be chayav in Bechor, just as if partially they're owned by the Goy. So that's our question. Do we say Behemat Arnona, chayavet b'vchora or in chayavet b'vchora? Now, kol hechad amatzim is salik le bezuzi. In a case where Be'etzem, you pay your money and nobody bothers your animals, in such a case, we are convinced that you would be chayav, because it hasn't yet entered, it's only an option, but it hasn't yet entered the rights of the goy to own. The question over here is, how about if there'd be no way for you to be misalik the goy with money? So that means on the entire flock, there is a hitchayvut, ultimately, of having to pay up. So this is the question, is it considered to right now be owned by the goy? Now this... there's taxes that are due. The question is, Arshayla, what would be the din of ownership? We learned this actually in the opposite direction, but we'll see in a moment. So he answered when they asked the Rava, Potter, Vatanya Chayevet, what do you do with the Braita that says that Arnona is Chayevet, even though there's an Akum that's involved? You'll have to learn that Hatam Dematzin Misalik. The question over there is talking about where you could pay your money and then they won't collect the arnona from your animal. In that case, says Rava, fine, we already agreed that where it's Vatzi Misalakway, there hasn't yet been any activation of the ownership of the goy. Others learn Nikidi Amri Amar Rava the exact opposite. The Behemat Arnona Turaminach Rabbi Chorah Afagav the Vatzi Misalakway. Even though you could be misalikin, but in the same way that we learned over here, Legabe Chometz, that it's considered to be ownership because of the theoretical need for replacement on you, so too the Behemat Arnona is considered to be owned by the Akum. Isat Arnona, Chayevet Bechala. Isat Arnona, Chayevet Bechala, V'Avagav Delo Matzin Misalik Lei. So Rashi learns, he'll have to learn that the Braita is a reference to the Isa, and not to the animal. And the Isa, where we have the same question, if you have dough, now the shayla is, do you have to take challah on it? If the government has rights of collection from this dough, so then you should be potter because it's not a risotechem. Tosfos doesn't accept that, and he has a different years actually, in which instead of saying afal gav, it says on the contrary, behemat arnona ptura vuhu delo matzi mesalikla. In which case, both bright thought now makes sense. We don't have to change the bright that it's talking about Isa. It's just that this lotion introduces the difference between Behemat Arnona in the same case that originally Rava said it was Potter, and the din of Isat Arnona, which is Chayev nonetheless. Avagav the Lomats in Mesalik, right? My Taima, Behema Eat Leikala, Isa Let Leikala. This is simply a Xera that people, we're afraid people will see you taking something that appears to be yours. They don't know that this is an Isat Arnona. And they see you eating without taking Kala. Mashenke, in a behema, everybody knows that this guy's flocks are in trouble. The government's put a lien on him. It's because word gets around in a farming community that there's a problem with this guy's animals. Tana Rabbanan, Nochri, getting back to Chometz. You're sitting happily in your home, and the mailman rings the bell, And he's got a registered letter, and he's eating his sandwich as he presents the registered letter. And there's like little pieces of chumash dripping down onto your floor. And of course, your wife is horrified. And what's going to be now? So the Nachri is Mikvas v'chatzeirosh Yisrael. Betzekel biyado, he's sitting there with his batzek, and it drops. And so it's a kuklevayer. You don't have to get rid, not of the Nachri, not of the batzek, because it's not yours.
What is
one piece of stuff? Yeah. If he know it's low, however, if the guy insists on leaving it there and says, "Oh, you better take good care of my lunchbox," I'm in big trouble. You better not take good care of that lunchbox other than to burn it up. So in that case, you're zakuk levayer. Yichid lo bayit. Now, if you went ahead and you said, "Okay, I'm giving you over this area over there," that's going to be the question over here is to what precisely is the case of the yichid lo bayit? Is the yichid lo bayit talking about where hifkidu etzlo together with kabbalat achrayut, or is the yichid lo bayit an alternative where the guy said, "Well, I'm leaving it by you," and he said, "Well, just put it in the closet." That's on Rashi. Just put it in the closet. Just putting it in the closet means that there's no Kabbalat Achrayut. Whereas Tosfos says, the rest of the sugya doesn't make sense if you learn that he said, just put it in the closet. It goes together with Kabbalat Achrayut, and he puts it in the closet. So, in other words, the Shiloh over here, as we'll see, will be nogeya the question of how the Torah was b'chayev on the Kabbalat Achrayut, where it's not in your Rishus. Because over here, once you're miyakid the closet to him, l'chor, it's not yours. But again, let's see the picture first. So yichid lo bayit in zakuk levayer, shenemar lo yimatze. Now that doesn't seem to make sense, because it says lo yimatze. Lo yimatze is a reason to say that you are chayev, not that you're not chayev. Asks the Gemara, my Omar, how exactly did you bring a raya from lo yimatze that in zakuk levayer? My Omar, Omar of Papa Aresha koi. No. The last piece, Shedemar lo yimatze, is not referring to the last case. It's referring to the first case. In other words, it's saying, okay, come on. Yichid lo bayit. So therefore, the first case, which is talking about where you are mechuyev to be mevayer, even though, what am I supposed to do? Shedemar lo yimatze? Rav Asher, no. It's talking about the Sefer. And it's saying, okay, come on. Yichid lo bayit. Ein zakuk levayer. Shedemar lo yimatze bevatechem. So lo yimatze bevatechem. This isn't my house. I gave it to the guy. I told him to put it in the closet. When he is given a place to put his own things, so it's as if he rented that place. And there, which is what we do when we actually do Mechirat Chametz. We give that place over to the guy. And therefore, there's no problem of having the Chametz there. It's not mine. It's not. You might say about the head. Are you saying that the fact that I told him you put it in the closet means that it's his? It's not your bayit? The name of the Sechirut Kanya? Are you therefore claiming that Sechirut is an actual Kinyan? The Atnan, we have a similar situation where you're going to be renting out a house to a non-Jew who may put an idol in the house. So the halacha over there is that after Makom Sha'amrullah Haskir, there's a whole question of the Nafkamina between Eretz Yisrael and Syria about the right to allow an Akum, Chanayabar, it's Lo Techanim, one of the dinim of Lo Techanim. In the Chutzlar, you're allowed to rent. However, continues the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, after Makom Sha'amrullah Haskir, even in those locations where it's mutter to rent out a house to a goy, Lo Lebeit Dira Amru, we certainly didn't allow you to rent it out for a place where they would be living, because then they would undoubtedly put up a couple of crosses and so on in there with a little icon on it, and that would be in your rishus, and the Torah is makbid that you shouldn't have a avodah zarah in your rishuyot. The yisak adaytik the schirut kanya. If you're going to tell me that when I rent out a house, it no longer belongs to me, which is what you seem to be saying over here, the schomet's in your house. Well, it's not my house. I gave over the rishut on it to the goy, and I let him put it there. But if you're going to tell me that schirut is kanya, so kikom ayel abeted an afshikom ayel. So then, I understand what the problem is. If the goy is bringing in an idol, it's into his own rishus. I mean, we're not on an iconoclast path over here. We're going to go find every idol in the country and blow it up. I mean, I'm renting the house out. Whatever he does is his business, not my business. Shinei Hacha says the Gemara, you're right. But again, in the same way that we changed the criteria for a dover agarim lamoma, what's considered to be yours, We also changed the criteria for what's considered to be a reshut, because since the Torah was mafkir achmana, the lashon lo yimatzei has a sense of matsui biyatcha. It does not mean that you technically own. It means that you not only own, but you have gisha. When you give the area over to the guy, you don't have gisha. It's not matsui biyatcha. Say theoretically, once I give it to him, I'm not going to be sitting there inside of his closet, and therefore, although it's technically mine, it's not considered to be a lo yimatzei. So yotcha zeh sheino matsui biyatcha. Therefore, this is not considered to be in your rishus. Well, no, the question is whether today we have a hakbata, or we cheshish for others to leave. It's all different issue. But again, it's not our sugya. So the shaila is like this: if what Rashi was saying is correct, Rashi was saying that the hand, giving in the closet was an alternative to accepting achrayut. The guy is saying, "Look, I'm leaving my thing here. You better take good care of it." And the Jew responds with, "Well, just put it in the closet." So Rashi's learning, well, just put it in the closet means I don't want to have anything to do with it. Just accept the fact I'm giving you over a piece of my house. You can lock the door, take care of it yourself. It's not my business. So suppose if that's what it's talking about, so then why does the rest of the sugya, what's it trying to say, Tzchirut is Kanya? And if Tzchirut is not Kanya, the reason that I'm not responsible is because I wasn't Mekabel Achrayut. If the putting it in a closet is only an alternative to the question of whether it's mine, it's not because of Lo Yimatzei. It's because it's not Shelcha. So Rashi seems to be confusing two different issues. Remember, we have two things that we need to take into consideration. One is it mine? That was what we were talking about yesterday. Then the Torah says Shelcha. So Shelcha yataroe, avalat taroe shel achirim, doesn't bother me if it's a goy's chametz, and that's how the sugya began. The postman walks in, it's his chametz, what do I care about the chametz? Doesn't bother me. All of a sudden we say, yes, but if he gives it to you, oh, then it does bother me. Because then it's Shelcha. Then according to Rashi, suddenly we switch back and we say, but of course if you weren't Mekabel Achrayut, you told him to put it in the closet, then we're back to the sugya of Shelcha Yataroel. But the Gemara goes from there to the sugya of Lo Yimatzei, that it's a din of Matzilacha, which is a question of in which Rishut, not what Chametz. So there's two completely different issues. Tanitosis Rashi seems to be confusing the two. The Gemara is bringing a raya about the nature of the Shur Rishut in which the Chametz is found and its connection to you. Rashi is talking about the connection of the ownership of the Chametz to you. So how did the Gemara confuse the two, says Tosfot? Gotta be talking about that you were Mekabel Achrayut. But since at the same time that you were Mekabel Achrayut, you said, and just put it in the closet. So even though it's Shelcha, but there's no problem with the Yataroeh, because it's Abavatechem, because it's Amatzei Bavatechem. Completely new halacha. So according to Tosfos, the whole sugya is talking about you were Mekabel Achrayut. We're talking about Chometz that is Shelcha, at least technically speaking, as we learned yesterday. And now we have a new idea of what Matzui means, what Batechem means. And since we have yesterday the Hekesh of the Se'or of Lo Yimatzei to the Se'or of Lo Yira'eh, we know that whatever the dinim are, how they're defined in Bevatechem, is the definition of Lo Yira'eh as well. So therefore, it's not a problem in ownership. It's a problem in the house. Okay, therefore, Tainis Tosfos, that we're talking about the equivalent of accepting responsibility for a goy's chametz in a goy's house. Let's say I own a shmirah company, and one of the things I do for my clients is that I accept full responsibility. If anybody breaks into your house, I pay. Am I chayiv because I have responsibility for the goy's chametz in the goy's house? Absolutely not. That's the whole point of the sugya. That Rav Papa is telling us that being miyached mokum for chemtzer shel nochri is no different than accepting achrayut in the chametz of a nochri in his own home. Okay, we're going to have to see more of the sugya in order for it to become clear what the issue is here. What exactly is Rashi saying? It certainly is not. He's not telling us that the sugya is not coming up with a new hagdora of what matzui means. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Hamotzei chametz b'beito b'yomto. Somebody finds chametz in his house, kofe alav atakli. He can't move the chametz on Yom Tov. It's mukta. What good is it? But what he can do is protect himself from the possibility of coming to eat it accidentally. So put a garbage pail over it or something. Now, what about the question of if you hold ein kli nital, ela letzarav dover anital? Remember, we had back in Shabbos, there's a man d'yomer who holds that if you can't move the item that you're moving the kli for, then you wouldn't be allowed to move the kli for it either. So how could you be called for the kli? Says Tosfos, according to that Man D'Yomer, we'll have to say that it's talking about either that in order to avoid coming to the Yitzer of Achilas Chometz, they weren't geyser and kli nital, and therefore move it anyway. Or maybe it means only where you needed to move this kli anyway. So not moving kli for this purpose. once I'm moving the kli, I should put it over the chametz, which is anyway mutter, even if we do apply the dinim of muktzah to this case. Omar Rava, and Rava says an interesting thing. Im shel hegdeshu eino tzarich. Suppose this chametz belongs to hegdesh. Now, you're not over, that's certainly not a problem, because shel gavoah. And you're also not going to come to eat it. Because all year round you don't come to eat hegdesh. The only problem that we have that someone will come to, are you allowed to keep a piece of non-kosher meat in your house? Absolutely. You have to be kofa lava zakli. So why over here do we worry about kofa lava zakli? Only because lo bedilim mine. You are not used to thinking about a piece of bread as being iser, and therefore may come without thinking to forget for a moment. But if it's hegdish, you're used to thinking of hegdish as iser, and therefore in the same way that all year round, if you know you have hegdish in your home, you're on guard against eating the hegdish accidentally. So that you're going to be on guard against this piece, not because of the chometz, because of the hegdish. Therefore, says Rava, you don't have to cover it. My time, I'm mivdo v'dilimine. The norm is to be aware of a care for hegdish. The Omer of Yiram Rav, chintzor shel nochri, if you have chometz of a nochri in your rishus, then oselo mechitzas ratvachim mishum heker. Even though we said kof alav etakli, that's talking about kof alav etakli where you happen to find it. That's good enough until tonight. Then you'll get rid of it. But on a permanent basis, where let's say you have a goy's chometz in your rishus, which you were not mekabel achrayut on, it's the middle of your living room, so you'll say, okay, so what's the problem? But the problem is that you may come to eat. Separate issue. Not because of Ba'yir Ev Ayyumatzeh. So you'll say, okay, so I'll put a kli over it. No. A kli is not a permanent solution. A kli is a temporary solution. Because after all, I mean, somebody will come along, see an upside down garbage pail, and say, hey, I could use that. And put it back up, and meanwhile expose the chametz and so on. So there you have to put up a mechitza. You put up a mechitza basar. It's fucking not a hacker. You're saying something a little bit strange. You're confusing two elements. What you're saying is correct, but it's being said very strangely. Because you started talking about the difference between kli and mechitza, and then you turn to the question of whether you'll burn it right away or not.
Because that's going to stand there for the whole 9 days. Opposed to the kli.
Look, it's a little bit of a strange way, but as I say, it's true. The im shel hegdeshu, if you have a situation of hegdesh that's in your rishus for the whole time, then you know it's sorry, my time in the middle of the lineage. Over there, people are bothered from it. What is there? In the Beit HaMikdash, we don't have anything of chomet. Chomet is prohibited all year round. All the karbanas are aser. You're not even allowed to let them become chomet. All year round, there's an issur of chomet in the Beit HaMikdash in terms of allowing. Somebody who's going overseas, Mefaresh means specifically in Asia, or somebody who's going on a caravan, and he's leaving town. So he's not going to be around for a long time.
Mitzvah believing is because Hegdish, he always has a separation. What about if
somebody was Magdish Hegdish, yeah, and has it in his house? So he doesn't come to eat Hegdish,
okay,
at any time.
But he doesn't come to eat somebody else.
And if I have Truma in my house, I'm going to come to eat it. If I'm not a Kohen, I'm not.
Okay, but the stuff belongs to somebody else, belongs to a Goy. So why would the Mitzvah believing would need somebody?
Because I'm not Bedili from the thing. I'm not that Makbid. I'm looking at it as Isser. I'm not as Makbid about the fact that it's owned by someone as I would be of Isser.
Huh? His example.
Yeah, but it's not an issue in the chafetz of the thing. It's not mine. Yeah, I didn't even know if you need to come on to that.
20-year-old Scotch.
Well, now maybe you're talking. Hegdish has chometz because you made it hegdish. It's not hegdish is chometz. It's hegdish is chometz because you were magdish. Let's say you gave a gift to hegdish. It's now in your house. What are you doing with the hegdish in your house? You live somewhere in Kiryat Atta. And you went ahead and you were magdish this big, beautiful pile of kemach from Menachos, let's say, whatever. Got wet. It now belongs to hegdish. It's in your house. It has to be sold. You need to give the money to hegdish, whatever, right? So what's the din? Are you going to be over on it? No, we learned out that shel gavoah you are allowed to have. Yeah, there's no Easter in on it. Okay, so now the shaila is like this. You're leaving before Pesach. Do you have to do a biur chometz before Pesach? Or can you simply rely on the bittul? because anyway you're going to be mevato all your chametz. Says the Gemara, the halacha would be determined by 30 days, and we'll see later on why we would pick 30 days out of a hat. But if it's kodim shloshim yom, ein zakuk levaya. So if you're leaving overseas more than 30 days before, then it's, you don't have to worry about it. If it's within 30 days of Pesach, tok shloshim yom zakuk levaya. Omra baya ade amra tok shloshim yom zakuk levaya. Lo amra ela shedat tolak zor. The only reason that within 30 days you're responsible to take care of your chametz is if you're planning on coming home. Aval ein da tolak zor, ein zakuk levaya. If you're not planning on coming home, so what do you care? Why not just do the bittul? What possible chashash is there in such a case of being mevayer? Even if it's within shloshim yom, if I'm not going to be here and I'm not going to come to finding any chametz in my rishos, why do I have to worry about it? If you're planning on being in that house for Pesach, what do I care when you leave? Let's say you leave the day after Pesach, after you already brought a pizza into the house. You're planning on coming back in the middle of next Pesach, right? So what do you do now? You leave the pizza crumbs and come back to the pizza? And you say, it's so far before Pesach, I don't worry about Pesach now. Or you have to go ahead and do your bedikah and be your right now. Says Rova, of course you're responsible not to be in a matzah, but you're going to come back to a house that wasn't mavur, it's chametz. The chiddush over here was that even if you're not going to be home, since it's within 30 days, and the chalot achiyuv already took place, therefore, you have to be mavir even if you're not going to be in the house. But the atolak zor filim in Rosh Hashanah, obviously Rosh Hashanah doesn't mean specifically Rosh Hashanah, it means from the beginning of the year, in other words, a full year before, once it's ready after Pesach. Zokuk levayar. Now this is Rav l'shitato. How's the Rav l'taymi? Yomar Rav ha'oseb beito otsa. Let's see, somebody takes his house and turns it into a warehouse. Kodim shloshim yom, ein zokuk levayar. So turning it into a warehouse, it is now filled with all types of wood and junk and so on and so forth. For him to have to do a birchah, it's that warehouse. God help us. So Lechora, once he turns it into an otzer, so now Lechora, he doesn't, it's the equivalent of Nafal Olam HaPoel. I mean, it's a ton of stuff here. Nobody's going to come to get to the chametz. So if it's Nafal Olam HaPoel, so then it's the equivalent of Mubuvuar. But if this is only, says Rava, that Kodem Shoshim Yom Nami Lo Amar L'Shein Da'ato L'Fanoto, this is only if he doesn't have in mind to clear it out again before Pesach. I don't care where you are, how long before Pesach this is. If this warehouse is going to be turned back into a normal house before Pesach, or before next Pesach, then even if there wasn't a chiyuv of Shloshim Yom, you're mechuyev because of your concern for finding the chametz after you take everything out of the house. And the mele, there's two separate chiyuvim, says Rav. One chiyuv is the fact that the chiyuv is already chal at Shloshim. The other chiyuv is the logistical view, in which the chachamim are mechayev you, if you are going to be in a place in which there is chametz, and you know that you're going to be in that place, and it's already months before Pesach, and this is the only opportunity that you have to take care of it, because in the interim, either you're not going to be there, or it's not going to be accessible, because it's a warehouse. You have to also take care of it, not become the chiyuv of the bedikah betoch shloshim that are in the mitzvah of Pesach are there, but because of the requirement to see to it that you're not going to be in a house that wasn't mevuar. That's two separate dinim.
Both of which are dealing with
assuming that you can be mevatel and not be over, so about the drama. Says the Gemara, where do we come up with 30 days? I mean, if it's a din in logistics, so then why not make it dependent, like Abaya does on the logistics? You know, if you're going to be back, so then you have to take care of it. So apparently there's a separate issue of Shloshim Yom. My Avidatayu, what is it doing here? Literally, by the way, the word Avidatayu means what is it doing here? What is it doing? It's the same type of expression we have in English. Well, what's it doing here? It doesn't seem to be serving any purpose. Where do we pick it out from? Kidetani. The basis of it is this halacha. Sho'alim v'dorshim b'ilchot ha-Pesach, kodem ha-Pesach shloshim yom. That we're supposed to begin 30 days before Pesach in teaching over publicly the dinim of Pesach, which means that there's a responsibility. We'll see, we have a mocker from the Torah in this. There's a responsibility of the chiyuvim of a chag within 30 days of that chag. Therefore, it makes sense that the takonis that the Rabbanan made should also be chag in that period when there's responsibility. That's why we call it the Chalot Chiyuv Bedika. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel argues on the basic assumption. He says the din of Sholim Vadorshim, and therefore any other halakha, which is Shtei Shabbatot. My time in the Tanakhama, where does the Tanakhama get the idea that you're mechuyev to teach 30 days in advance the din of a chag? Sharei Moshe Omed B'Pesach Rishon. Umazir al Pesach Sheni. Look, there's Moshe. He's sitting here by Pesach. It's Erev Pesach. V'yinyan Hashim Hashayut Be'im L'Nefesh Adam. And they come to complain, what about us? How come we can't bring the Karban Pesach? We're going to be Tahar tonight. Let's send our Karban Pesach. We'll eat it tonight. And he starts telling them, anybody who's Tamei for Pesach, or B'derech Rechoka, and so on, he should make Pesach Sheni a month from today. So what is he telling them about a month from today? He's teaching it. He could just say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for you now. We'll talk about it later. But the fact that he gives over all of the dinim of Pesach Sheni a month before Pesach Sheni is an indication that you need to teach about an upcoming chiyuv a month before. So if that's the case, it means that you're within the tchum of that chiyuv here too for your bedika. Uchtiv shenema vayasu bnei Yisrael at Pesach b'moado. So this is now the 14th of Nisan. Uchtiv vayyanashim asher yutmeim lenefesh adam, which is on the 14th of Nisan. He's telling them all the dinim. So what indeed is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel who says only 2 weeks? I mean, what's he going to do with that? Well, obviously, once they're there, he's going to tell you the rest of the dinim. They say, no, I'm sorry, we won't discuss it now. But 2 weeks from now, to Nadat, you come back, and then I'll be responsible to discuss it. I did die in the meal of the Pesach. Masbul the Kol meal of the Pesach. He's teaching over the dinim of Pesach now. It is Pesach now. He's telling you that you can't bring the Pesach. He's going to tell you all the dinim of Pesach, including Pesach Sheni. And where indeed does Rav Shimon ben Gamliel come up with the idea of 2 weeks if this is not a proper model? So where is the model for 2 weeks? That's very simple. Moshe is only Rosh Chodesh, and he teaches about Pesach. He says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, which is then followed by Dabru HaKol Adak Yisrael Emor, Be'asor LaChodesh Hazeh V'Kulem Yisrael Veit Avod, and now you're going to bring it on the 14th and all of the dinim. So that is 2 weeks before. That I could take as a model. Says the Gemara, well, how do you know that that's on Rosh Chodesh? How do you know that the reference, the Tosafot says, what do you mean, how do you know? I mean, the Gemara in Shabbos took that for granted, that since it says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pointing to the moon, explaining the way the moon was. Moshe was in the Skasha, but so obviously that was on the Rosh Chodesh itself. But maybe the point is the Dabru HaKol Adat Yisrael isn't, or maybe what it is that Moshe Rabbeinu actually said. How do we know when he actually said it? So, Memela, you couldn't bring a raya from here. How do we know that this takes place? Maybe it's on the 4th of the month or the 5th of the month. Elo amar rabba bashimi mishmei de ravina miho. Vayedaber Hashem ha-Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana ha-shenit b'chodesh ha-rishon. So here we are in the second year, on the 1st of the month, as we're going to see. Uchti vayasu d'nei yisrael at ha-pesach b'moado. That the Jews should make the Pesach 2 weeks from now at the correct time on the 14th. I'm on the 4th. I'm talking about the 14th. That's 2 weeks. So if that's the case, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechayev dealing with your upcoming Chiyuvim within a space of 2 weeks. Well, but all it says is it's in the first month. It doesn't say it's on the first day of the first month. How do we know that B'Chodesh HaRishon is on Rosh Chodesh? Who's to say that this is on Rosh Chodesh? Amrei Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Take a look at the word Midbar as it appears in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar. There it says, Tiv Hacha B'Midbar Sinai. And in the beginning of Bamidbar, it says, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai Ba'ol Moed Be'echad LaKodesh Hasheni. There it says B'Feirush at the beginning of the book, which is strange because later in the book it's talking about the first month. And in the beginning of the book, it's talking about the first and second month, which is a strange way to write a book. That is, if you live in time. So, but in any event, in the same way that the Chodesh Hasheni meant on Rosh Chodesh of Chodesh Hasheni when you're in the Midbar, so Afgan Barosh Chodesh. So here too, when it says B'Chodesh Harishon, it means B'Rishon B'Chodesh Harishon. So why not just write the book right? I mean, V'Niftav B'Rish. Bereshit the Chodesh Rishon. Why don't we start off with what happens on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Well, Hadar Niftar the Chodesh Sheni, and then move on to the dinim of the Pekida and the halakas of the Machana and the leaving and so on. I mean, all of that should come after. It's a completely out of chronological order. Omre Menashe bar Tachlifa Mishmei Rav. Indeed, Zot Omeret Ein Mukdam U'Mu'char B'Torah. You're absolutely right. It's out of chronological order, and that teaches us that the Torah is not built around chronology, and therefore you can't ask the question when it's not a criteria. If Ein Mukdam U'Mu'char B'Torah, then that means that it's not a book that's interested in presenting chronology. Okay. You're saying, but shouldn't we? But when you write your own, you can write your own, but it's not part of the Seder of Torah. Says the Gemara, this raises all types of interesting issues, because if Ein Mukdam U'Mu'char B'Torah, how do we have halachas of drasha of the Torah that are based on sequential analysis? You'll never be able to make a sequential analysis if you don't know the sequence. And sequence is unfortunately dependent on time. So if the Torah is completely out of order, a prat o'klal could be a klal o'prat. I mean, anything could be.
What's that? The word for said differently.
Exactly.
But you think it would look like that, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
In the pasuk itself.
You're right. In other words, we will assume that the Seder of Drushas, this itself is a fascinating assumption that the Gemara has made, the Seder of Drushas does not refer back to the Torah as it's written. The Seder of Drushas refers back to the Torah as it was spoken, as it was taught. Because that's what the Drusha means. It's not that the Torah incorporates various hidden hints to finding out another meaning and it's written in accordance with those hints. Nonsense. You'll never learn something different the way it's written from the way it was presented. That would be ridiculous, because then it would mean that the Sefer Torah is not really the teaching of the Torah.
They didn't know what Hashem said.
Whatever, I mean, it's deeper than that. It's that the Sefer Torah is a book about Torah rather than being the book of the Torah, which is unacceptable. We take for granted that the nature of a Sefer Torah is that it is the teaching, not a recording of the teaching. So if it's the teaching, then, and you're telling me that the way it's been given over is not in order, then it means that it doesn't incorporate those encoded drushes. How could it? Therefore, says Rav Papa, that what we'll have to say, Amar Rav Papa, we'll have to say that lo amar lo betray in yonin, it must mean that the organization of a Sefer Torah outside of a single parasha, the parashot are not in order, meaning the p'tuchot, the stumot, may not be in order. Avo b'charin yana, maidem mugdam mugdam, umaidem mulchar mulchar. There's no way to avoid that some elements of the Torah, so each paragraph has got to be in chronological order, because if not, ilote ma'achi, how do you ever have a klal prat? Where the rule is, ein b'chlal ala ma'ashev a prat. Maybe it's a prat or klal. Maybe it was said over in the opposite order. Dilma prat or klal. Or the same thing in the inverse. You have a prat or klal. So the din is over there. The klal becomes musaf ala prat and expands it. How do you know it's a klal? Maybe it's a klal or prat, and now the prat is coming to limit the klal. Says the Gemara. So if that's the ketosis points out, by the way, we have a lot of drushes between the luchas rishonim and the luchas shniyim, which are very, very far apart. And the chora, we shouldn't be able. Right, because the way that Moshe reviews it, and as he says, that since it's the same sugya, because b'dibur echad emru in it, so the b'dibur echad makes it in fact achada inyana. Says the Gemara, "Ihochi afilu betray inyane nami." So wait a minute, I understand. If you're telling me that where we have a drasha, that the drasha is mechayev us to say that it's in order, so then that should be true in general, unless of course you hold that there's no such drasha. So in other words, ainik amanad yonu klala pratam ruchakim zemiza ain danimatov falam pratam. In other words, if you're willing to accept that, in fact, drashot are limited by being in the same parasha, so fine, I understand, it's not a problem. But if you're telling me that a klal and a prat is something that extends over the chumash, so then how would this have anything to do with b'chad and yana? Then this should be true. It forces you into saying that wherever the Torah is giving you drasha, it's always a chronological order. Then why are you saying dafka being in that? So ma'ikel amimah. Says the Gemara, no. Afilam ad yomer donim. How do you mean the fad in yana? But betray yana ain't donim. Klalu prata meruchakim doesn't mean from one end of the Torah to another. Klalu prata meruchakim means even if there were sentences in between that dealt with some other issue, and that nonetheless, it's two sentences later, it could still be a klalu prata despite the fact that it's meruchak. But it still has to be within the same parasha in order to be assured that we're talking about chronological order. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, habodek tzarich sheyivatel. Even though you did the Vedika, you still have to go ahead and do a Bittul, which of course we know well from after doing the Vedika, coming together and saying the Kol Hamira, the Hamiya, and so on. What is the Svara for this? My time. Inema mishum pirurin. Is the reason because maybe there's crumbs around? I mean, I can't expect that I found every crumb in the house, so I want to get rid of those crummy crumbs anyway. Right? So in order to get rid of them, I don't want them in my rishos, I'm a Vatulam. Says the Gemara, that can't be the reason. And because, if that were the case, then l'chora the piurim are not chasher. And since they're not chasher, they should be mivutal v'omei. Because since the nature of the bitul is, remember, the sense that it's meaningless to me, so then, by definition, or a little crumb stuck between a balata somewhere is meaningless to me. So why would I need specifically to go out to be mevatalit? I understand if I'm taking something that has chashivut and I'm trying to assert that it has no chashivut, I need bit. But if I'm assuming that my bedika took care of all of that and all that I'm left is pirurim, why do I need to be mevatalit? And of course, this has all types of interesting connotations. Because if you're telling me that pirurim are betelim mi alehem, then the question is, when I do my bedikat chametz, do I have to even look for pirurim? Because if I don't have to look for Perurim, then that makes it the B'dikas Chometz an awful lot easier.
Any space that can hold it, because I used to something we wouldn't have to check.
No, not because of that, but even better. Because I can look in a very simple way. I don't have to be medayik to look in a way in which my eyes would pick up the Perurim. It's also true, Barnea's case would be true, let's say, Lagavi Sfarim. People are now to pick up the Sfarim, go through every page, see whether there's a crumb on the page. The Chazanish used to put a big mechitz in front of all of his Sfarim, so that you shouldn't come down.
That was a good table. So why would Leonard be initially? You don't need to look that closely.
Whatever you need to look, whatever you need to look for. They're looking
for the
Sfarim.
Not that they had the lights on. They didn't have lights on, they really had
seated. No matter what you're looking for, you need light. That seems to be a given. That's another question, which I'll discuss in a moment. But this is an extremely serious issue. The Chazanish was b'chalik between the chiyav of Bedika. He held that there's a chiyav of Bedika even on Purim, from which came the minhag for people to go and to open up their Sforim, to get out all of the Purim, and they have to spend the entire night opening up every sefer, looking at it lower on there, every page, you know, so you need to hire a few hundred people to do the work, if you've got a sizable library, or just sell the whole thing to the guy and put up a curtain, which is what the Chazanish did, although it's not clear that that's why he put up the curtain. But in any event, these are serious, they're serious paiskim. There's no connection between the automatic bittul and the question of bedikas chametz, which includes all types of other issues, such as maybe you'll find it, or if it's there, maybe you'll open a safer, it'll fall into your drink or whatever, it'll be on your table and it'll still make its way into your food. And clearly, chametz is also even with less than it. You know, all of those things need to be taken into consideration in terms of fear. However, there are many other poskim that held that you only have to be bodek that which would be a shear that wouldn't be bought to me elof. So Reb Moshe is that offering. It was only bodek and somebody wouldn't be bought to me elof. Does that mean necessarily kizayit? No, because the choshev could be perhaps less than a kizayit. That we're going to be medayik these things in a moment, really throughout the sugya. So it could be choshev, but perhaps it's pachas because you might want to eat. There are those who hold that it's nogeya dafka in the shear of chiyav rather than a vitzer, and you will need a kizayit. Say chacham ben Zion Abashol. You only have to look for something which is your kizayit. Of course, if you stick the chazanish together with that, you got the chazanish is kizayit, then you're really. But of course, that may be. But I mean, we can see already here the basis for now for this discussion. If the Gemara is saying that you shouldn't need to be levato pirurim, then levato pirurim are not a big deal. V'chitema, unless you want to suggest, and this is an interesting question, you have pirurim in the house, which you were not levato, because you're assuming they're going to be bought to me. However, you're taking good care of those pirurim. Why? Because you're taking good care of your home. So no ganef could come and take those pirurim because you've got an alarm system and a watchdog and God knows what else, right? So is the very fact that they are within the context of the shmira of your home, is that machshiv of them? Unless you specifically go out of your way to be mevatel. So maybe that's why you need to be mevatel. So the chitim, and maybe you'll tell me that kiva dimitri lu agav beti, that because of the fact that they are being watched along with everything else in the house, unless there's a specific bitul, they're not going to be bought to me aleihem. Nope, doesn't work. Because vatanya sufeta inimu mishamir sadeh mipnei anavim. Let's say a guy has a farm in which he has both grapes that he's growing and figs that he's growing. It's the end of the fig season. So what's left on his fig trees are some worthless figs that will never mature. That's called sufeta in the end of the season. But nonetheless, he's still got his guards up around the farm because they're taking care of the farm because he's got grapes that are growing there. Or maybe it's the end even of the grape season, and it's almost Halloween time, and so he's got people that are taking good care of his pumpkins there. They don't want everybody coming in and taking his pumpkins. So he's Mishamer Sadeh, Mipnei Mikshaot, or Mipnei Midlaot. He's got squashes and pumpkins out. So Bizman Sheba Alabayit Makpid Alayam Asurim Mishum Gezev HaChayavim B'maaser. If the Balabayit is Makpid on specifically those things, so then fine, then you're not allowed to take them. And then they're Chayavim Maaser because they're considered to be Shmurim. But if the Balabayit doesn't have any particular use that he wants to make off of the Sufei Teinim, or off of the Sufei Anavim, the fact that I'm keeping a good watch on my field for my pumpkins doesn't mean that my Anavim or Teinim are now going to be Chayavim Maaser because they're Shmurim. They aren't Shmurim. The field is Shmurim. There's anything over here. The Pirurim are not Shmurim. The Bayit is Shamur. So that can't be the solution for why they would need a Bittul. Omar, Rava, the real reason is, Gzeira Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa, Vedaite Alui. We're afraid that he may find a reasonable piece in Pesach that got an attractive piece, a Guska Yafa, that got left aside somehow and he didn't notice. And now, at the moment that he finds it, Daitayalav, he doesn't think, ooh, I better rush and burn that. Because the first thing that you think about when you see a nice pretzel is, ooh, but not burned. So in that instant, this is how Rashi learns, in that instant that he finds it without an immediate attempt to burn it, he'll be over, which is mashma. But up until that time, obviously isn't over. In other words, the lo yimatzei does relate to lo yera'eh in a very interesting way. The lo yimatzei indeed may explain that you don't have to literally see your chametz. But on the other hand, the lo yera'eh means chametz that you're aware of. So only at the point that you discover the chametz would there then be a problem, right? Okay. So therefore, I can't say, bimavato, maybe you left over a gluska yafa. I understand. You gave me a chiyuv for bedika in order to avoid gluska yafa. So in other words, I did what I needed to do to get rid of my chametz. So you tell me, well, maybe you looked over something. And if I overlooked something, so what? I'm not going to be over on Bayi Rabbi Matze when I don't know. There are those who hold, even by the way, that if I find this after Pesach, I find a box of pretzels that I forgot about. It's not chametz of all of Pesach because I wasn't over any Easterns. I didn't know about it. There was no Bayi Rabbi Matze. So only that which a person is over on Pesach would be also chametz of all of Pesach, perhaps. Okay? So the sugya seems to be clearly saying, don't worry about the fact that you might have overlooked a box of pretzels. That wouldn't be a problem. Because you did what you needed to do in order to be mashmit the chametz. Well, what if you discover that box of pretzels, and your immediate reaction is not to burn it? Then for that instant, you see chametz. You're not being osik in getting rid of the chametz. Obviously, if you were osik in getting rid of the chametz instantly, then that's not by your rabbi matzei. Because then the Torah is saying, get rid of your chametz. Okay, getting rid of my chametz. That's exactly what I'm doing. You see, well, as long as you haven't gotten to the fire yet, every moment and every step that you take is by your rabbi matzei. No, the by your rabbi matzei is not to maintain the chametz, not to be involved in burning the chametz. But since there may be that moment of hesitation, says Rashi, in which you don't think about burning, at that moment you're going to be over by your rabbi matzei. However, if you're mevatel it, if you're mevatel it, then it's not chametz that you could be over on by your rabbi matzei because it's just afra mi'alma. And the mela be mevatel it in advance. Okay? Tosfos Tainus, if that's the pshat, how do we understand these coming words? Asks the Gemara, why would you need to be mevatel it when you do the bedika? B'chim mashkachat lifteleh. When you find it, be mevatel it. That's mad, according to Rashi, says Tosfos. If the whole point is that you may have an instant hesitation, then that instant hesitation, wouldn't that instant hesitation prevent the bittul as well? In other words, it seems that Rashi is taking for granted that an instant hesitation for Sereifa would mean one thing, whereas my seeing it would immediately elicit from me the sense of, oh my God, it's Pesach, I'm not interested in this, even though I don't have an immediate response to go burn it. There's two separate issues. According to Tosfos, there aren't just two separate issues. Your shihia would be a shihia for bittul as well. So therefore, how could that be the pshat? Tosfos therefore says, if you find something, the problem is only that it will not be bottle me'elav like the Purim. That's all we're coming to say. In other words, what was our question? Our question was, if the Purim anyway are bottle, why do you have to go ahead and be mevatel? Answers the Gemara, but what about things that aren't bottle me'alayam? Such as a box of pretzels. So then, the moment that they're found, they're not Baltimei Aleihem, and you're not doing anything, and at that moment, they're in your rishus. But not because of hesitation. Why do you need hesitation? It's just that they haven't been mevutal. So there's no automatic bitul. Now, this is a fascinating machlokas. Again, we're gonna be building a case for the meaning of Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh, and the meaning of the Chiyav Badika gradually, as we do in all Masechtas. The central themes of the Masechta come out clearer and clearer as we continue to go. So, but we're raising the issues. We're beginning to get a nice outline of the elements over here. Especially if we take into consideration the other issue, which is those Rishonim that suggested that maybe the reason for getting rid of the Chometz, even though you could be Mavat to the Chometz, is because maybe you'll find something and you'll eat it. If you'll find something and you'll eat it, so then there's two completely different issues. If I find something that's a chashash, I'm going to eat it. So then kol shekein, there's the chashash that for that moment there's going to be a chiyuv of ba'yira ba'yimatzei. So then why are we even, and then what are we even discussing this for? Okay. Fine. What does that mean the Gemara doesn't hold up?
At this point,
If it's not your chametz, it's not your chametz. We just learned that. Lecha, if you sell the chametz, it isn't yours. What does it mean the Gemara doesn't hold it? You mean in a rare case where somebody sold his chametz? Enochinami? What do you mean? That's exactly why many people are makbid, and most shtarot automatically come this way, mikirat chametz, that the mikirat chametz is always chal, only at such a time where it's not going to come to be a steerer to the beetle. In other words, if I'm going ahead and I'm being, if this isn't my chametz at all, then of course my bittul is not going to be chametz. My bittul will only be chametz on those things that aren't sold. So I'm not selling necessarily those things that I'm being mevatel. I mean, there's a whole different approach to this. Am I selling the goy? This whole question, do I sell the goy, the bliot in the pots? Right? Or am I relying on bittul for that? But then if you sell the goy, the bliot in the pots, then why don't I have to be tevel the pots after Pesach? You want to? Can you only sell him the bliyah but no ownership in the pot? Again, the mechirat chametz is simply a fact of life. If one sold his chametz, he sold his chametz. It's not a particular tikkun. Nobody ever came up with a takana. Let us sell our chametz. Even Bisman Asa saying now it turns out everybody does something. Okay, yes and no. Fine. So the question over here is Gzeira Shem Yim Tzikluski Yavah V'day Te'ala. If that's the case, be mevatel at the instant that you find it. No. You can only be mevatel before the Zman of the Yisr. Once it's already Usr, B'hana'ah, it's not yours. If it's not yours, you can't be mevatel. You'll say, but if it's not yours, you're not over on Lecha. So, it's a contradiction of terms. If you're telling me if the Torah says you're not allowed to be menah from something, then you're not an owner of that thing. So then if I'm not an owner of that thing, then I can't possibly be chayav for that thing, because it says lo yo'ela chasa'or. So I'd explain that. We have the same problem if I own a bor of Rishut HaRabim. Right? Remember, a grumma of mezikin is not a thing. Right. So if I cause somebody damage, I'm not chayav for causing him damage. I'm chayav because my property is an extension of myself, and therefore it actually did the damage and caused damage. Well, that's all very nice if it's my ox, or if it's my rooster, or whatever else you want in my car. But if it's a hole, how do I own a hole in the middle of Rishus HaRabim? That ain't your hole. So how could you be chayav for digging a hole in Rishus HaRabim that somebody falls into? If it's not your hole, then you'll say, but it's your fault. Oh, no, wait a minute, it's one step removed. I mean, you fell into the hole. So then I'm not responsible for causation. So you have the same problem over there. Here are two cases in which I am responsible for something which by definition can't be mine, which turns out it isn't yours, you're potter. Now, how do you get that? D'yomar Rabbi Elazar, shnei dvarim einan b'rishuto shel adam, v'asa'ana katuv ke'ilo b'rishuto. Clearly there are two things which in terms of your rights to utilize them, they're not under your thumb. You have no rights to them. And nonetheless, the Torah made them yours in order to be chayev, but only for that purpose. So in other words, whatever it is about them that the Torah views as yours doesn't give you specific rights other than in terms of the chiyuv, the Elohim. Bor b'rishut harabim. So now it would all be very nice. Okay, this is my bor b'rishut harabim. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm being mafkir my bor. So if anybody falls into it, certainly has nothing to do with me. But the Torah makes the bor your rishus. And the same thing is true about chametz b'shei shaot b'lamala. So you're going to say, this is not my problem, because anyway, I'm not allowed to be netted from that. See that box of pretzels? Hefker. By definition, it's hefker, because I can't get any anah from it. No. The Torah made it yours, but you can't be mafkir it, because in order to be mafkir it, you need to own it to be mafkir it. But you don't own it to be mafkir it. So nor can you be mavakir it, because it's not yours to define its status. Therefore, if I'm going to find now a box of pretzels in the middle of Pesach, which I hadn't been mevatel earlier, what do I do now? Can't be mevatel it now, because it's not mine. It's only mine to be over on Bani Matzai. So therefore, I better be mevatel it in advance. So bor b'rishut harabim and chametz b'shei sha'ot v'lamala. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. But could you not be mevatel it sometime during the day? Why do we connect the bittul to the bedikah? Let me be mevatel it ba'arba shot. After I finish my morning suuda with my last chametz, then I should be mevatel. Or let me mevatel in 5 hours, when maybe there's an isra'chila, but it's still in my rishos, because the rabbanu didn't aser it in hana'ah. Kivan de labzman isurahu. V'labzman biyurahu. Dima pasha v'lo mevatala. The reason is just logistics. There's nothing specific that talks to you at that hour. There's no catalyst at all of the chiyuv. So if you make it part of the ASIC that I have in the chiyuv of bedikat chametz, so everybody is sensitive to, okay, time for bedikat chametz, how do we do the bedikat chametz? We do this whole rigmarole and everybody runs around and then we all get together afterwards and we pick up our agada and we read. Okay, then it becomes part of a ritual. So it's part of a ritual. I'll remember to do it. But to say that everybody should be responsible is a separate issue. Everybody should remember sometime before Pesach do a bittul. Ooh, boy. What are the chances of that happening? That's like the 2 months before they're warning you about getting all the mice out of your shus and the fourth year, you know, and then you remember 3 months later, hey, I never did that, right? So there needs to be some specific thing that triggers the response. Well, I mean, how about niftalei b'sheis? How about at the time that you have to burn the chametz, which is the beginning of the sixth hour, so at that moment, I also, I'm going to go burn the chametz? Part of my burning the chametz is to be mevat the chametz. What's wrong with that? That's because kivan yisur d'rabbanan igluyei. Once the rabbanan asked it after five o'clock, in other words, 5 hours in the day. So now it's the equivalent of being asur on your midiraita, and it's not in your rishus. Lav b'rishute kaimei, and at that point it's going to be too late to be mevat. V'lo matzim mevat. The Amar of Gidel Amar Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Amar Rav, amekadesh b'sheish sha'ot v'lamala. You go and you want to marry a woman. At Rashi learns sheish sha'ot v'lamala, strangely enough, means from the beginning of sheish. That's the way he's learning the whole sugya. Usually b'sheish sha'ot v'lamala means from the end of sheish. Says Rashi, but in order to fit into the sugya, it's got to mean from the beginning of sheish. So if I go now to be mekadesh a woman, even with chite kordanaita, even with these kordistanic chitin, not this really what it means. It means with Kurdistan. Rashi says it's Horei Ararat, which is that area. It's a place in Bernays' neighborhood. If it wouldn't be so late, he would tell us all about it. But the chitim over there are very tough chitim. Nonetheless, if they got into water, there's not even a chashash of kedushin. Afilu bechite kordanaita and chashash of kedushin. Even though it's tough, you think, well, maybe there's a tzad, it didn't get chometz. No. And therefore, it's a clear raya that it's not owned by you, even though it's only a nisa d'rabbana. Tosfos tainis, sheish sha'ot v'lamala never means that. Sheish sha'ot v'lamala is after sheish, that's when it becomes asur. Misof sheish. The Rabbi Natan learns the sukkah over here, is talking about misof sheish. So what does that have to do now with a d'rabbana? Because chite kurdenaita are only chometz nukshan. They are not, it's not edible, wet chite kurdenaita. And we'll see chometz nuksha is in the middle of edibility and non-edibility, which we'll get to talk about, but it's an issur d'rabbanan only. Therefore, even though it's only asur in the rabbanan because it's chometz nuksha, nonetheless, you see we're not chayish l'kedushin, which is a raya that even something that's asur in the rabbanan and chayish l'kedushin, not because this case is talking about from the beginning of sheish. Okay, it's extremely late, and therefore we won't be able to go into all of the issues. However, tomorrow we'll continue to expand on some of the themes that we raised today. Bo minemi rabba behemat arnona chayevet b'vchora o in chayevet b'vchora kolech the matzim misalik lebezuzi lo kami boilon de chayev kami boilon ekra lo matzim misalik lebezuzi mar amalahu p'tura vatanya chayevet atam the matzim misalik le ikide amri yom rabba behemat arnona p'tura min ha-b'chora afagav the matzim misalik le isat arnona chayevet b'vchora afagav the lo matzim misalik le my taima behema yitle kala yisalat le kala tona rabona נוכרי שנכנס לחצרו של ישראל ובצקו בידו אין זקוק לבאר יפקידו אצלו זקוק לבאר ייחד לו בית אין זקוק לבאר שדמר לא יימצא מה כמה? אומר פפדון הרי שקוי אוכל יפקידו אצלו זקוק לבאר שדמר לא יימצא רבה שמרנו את מינס כפשוטו לא למה סייפה קוי ואוכי כמה סינס ייחד לו בית אין זקוק לבאר שדמר לא יימצא בבתיכם You're trying to say that Svirut is Kona? But then after Baruch Hashem, I'll ask you, Lola Beit Dira, Amru Bidei Shemach, Yisim, the Tokol Avadot, Kedulim, Kedulim. Visa, Gedei, the Svirut Kanya, Ki Kamaya, Lola Beit Dira, Nafshi Kamaya. And he's shining off at after Rakhon of Lashon Lo Yimatsei, which changes the criteria to Misha Matsui Biyatcha. Yatsa Zeshenu Matsui Biyatcha. Omri Vinam Rav, Hamotzei Chometz Bideito Biyom Tov. Kufa alavatakli, and after Yantav, you'll burn it. Omar Rava, Imshel Hekeshu, and a Tzarech. My time, a middle bedilamine anyway. The Omer of Yonam Rav Chimtza Shal Nochri, that you have in your Rishus that you're responsible for, also Rav Chitza Sarat Fafi, Mishum Eker, but in Shal Hekish Yonet Tzarev, my time Yiv Lo B'Lil Yonu Shmine. The Omer of Yonam Rav, Am Befaresh Or Yotzei B'Shayara, Kod Em Shal Shem Yom Ein Zakuk Levayer, Tor Shal Shem Yom Zakuk Levayer, Om Rabaya, Adiyam, Tor Shal Shem Yom Zakuk Levayer, Lo Amrod, El Shadah Tolak Zor, Abel Hein Da Tolak Zor, Ein Zakuk Levayer, Om Le Rav, what do you mean? He died to Lachzor, Afilin Rosh Hashanah Nani. El Amar Rava Hadi Amar Kodem Shal Shvim Hainza Kuklevai, on the contrary. Lo Amar El Shein Dato Lachzor. Ava Dato Lachzor, Afilin Rosh Hashanah Kuklevai. And this is Rava Lashita To, the Amar Rava. O Seb Beito Otsa. Kodem Shal Shvim Yom Hainza Kuklevai. To Shal Shvim Yom Zakuklevai. The Kodem Shal Shvim Nami Lo Amran, El Shein Dato Lefanoto. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that doesn't prove anything. I did die with Nila Pisa, Masiklu, the whole Nila Pisa. But my time, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Shari Moshe, made Barosh HaChodesh, Umazir Ala Pesach, Shemra HaChodesh Hazel, Lakem Rosh Chodashim, Uchtiv Dabru, Kol Adad Yisrael, Mor Be'asor Ala Chodesh Hazel, Vichulam Yisrael Beit Avod, Vimayde Barash Yarkakoy, Gimur Be'arba, Be'yarko, Be'kamisha Be'yarkakoy, El Amar Rabba Bashim and Shmei the Ravina Mihocha by Daber Hashem and Moshe be Mibar Sinai Bashana Hashini Pachodesh Arishon V'yasu Bnei Yisrael at a Pesach Mamoado. Hakinani Mimai the Bereish Yarcha Koy Dima Biarba Biarcha or Bechamisha Biarcha Koy. Amar Nachum by Yitzchak. That's because Atya Midbar Mid Midbar Kivaka be Midbar Sinai Uchtivata by Daber Hashem and Moshe be Midbar Sinai. We do a prat or klal, it sounds a klal, Mosef ala prat. Maybe it's a klal or prat. Iyachi, I feel betrayed in Yanni Nami. I mean, Einich Lamad Yomer, the klal or prat, Murchakim Zem Zem, Daninot of the klal or prat. Fine, so then that's consistent. But Lamad Yomer Danin, Maigla Mima, I feel Lamad Yomer Danin, Hani Mila Bechad in Yana, I will betray in Yana, Ein Danin. Omri of Yunomarav, Abu Deit, Tzarek Shivatel, my time. In a mission pirurin aloch hashive. The chitim are given the mintalu agav beti hashive. Votan is sufei teinu mishamas teim ne anavim. Sufei anavim mishamas teim mikshaot mibne midlaot. Only bisman shabalabait makpir alayam. Then there are some shum gezel vechayavim b'maser. But bisman shein balabait makpir on the sufei teinu mishufei anavim. So then mutarim shum gezel, mutarim shum maser. So here too there's no akpad on the pirurin. So, even then, Mishki Mashkaka, so he lived to it. Dilma Mashkaka, they labata Isura. And then, Labrishutta Kaiba, Velo Motzi Mavata. Domra Velaza, Shneid Varim in Ambrishutashal Adam, Vasana Katuv Kilo in Brishutta, Veloin, Bor Brishutta Rabin, Vichamet Vishesha Od Velamala. Okay, so then Niflei be Arba, Niflei be Chamesh. Now that's because given the Lavzban is Sura, the Lavzban the Yura, so what's going to catalyze the Dilma Parsha of Lama Matala? The Niftle Bishit, given the Sura, the Rabbanan Aloya, it's too late already. And it would be Kidiraita, the Lav Rishut Ekaim, the Loma Tzimamata, the Omer of Gidal, Omer of Chia, by Yosef Amarab, and the Kadesh Bishesha Od Velamala, a Filipachita Kurdanita, in Choshin Lekidushin.